Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best: provide cancer updates, research, and education. In this week's episode, as part of our Speaking Out video series, we spoke with Dr. Jeremy Brower from the Skin Cancer Foundation about skin cancer treatments and what is on the horizon for the disease.
To kind of go over the basics of treatment, what is the current standard of care for the different types of skin cancer?
So great question. I think we initially have to start with identifying something, as I mentioned, that's new, changing, or unusual. And in general, once you've taken the step of seeing your board certified dermatologist, if it does warrant what we call a biopsy, that's going to be your initial step. And for most, what a biopsy involves is an administration of local anesthesia, so a little needle stick to numb the area, and then they take a piece of skin. In general, then just an emollient or a little Aquaphor, Vaseline, and a Band-Aid is all you'll need. Occasionally, depending upon the concern for the lesion, maybe a few stitches can be put in. And then once we diagnose and determine what kind of skin cancer it is and where it is in the body and take into account other factors that we call it the individual, so their age, if they have any other underlying medical conditions, what medications they take, where on the body this skin cancer is located, we'll then have a conversation about the risks, the benefits, and the alternatives to various treatment options.
Okay. And so what is the best way for patients to learn more about their options?
I think first and foremost, an honest and direct conversation with the dermatologist who can in detail discuss the diagnosis and the expectations. The Skin Cancer Foundation is a fantastic resource. So, you know, we always caution use of the internet to gather information, but absolutely Skin Cancer Foundation, the major organizations across dermatology, are other great resources. But primarily, I think a good, thorough conversation with your board-certified dermatologist should help you direct which way you want to go with your treatment.
Absolutely. And so immunotherapy is a pretty common term now in the treatment landscape, but how has it changed treatment for patients with skin cancer over the last decade or so?
So immunotherapy, these days we more specifically think of for treatment of melanoma. And it, as you mentioned, it's absolutely been a game changer. I think we talk about with melanoma survival, like a certain period of time of survival for more advanced skin cancers. And that's definitely prolonged the life of many individuals who unfortunately would otherwise not have fared as well prior to the onset of immunotherapies. But then with the other skin cancers, so in addition to melanoma, another interesting area and promising area is targeted therapies. So here, what we're looking at is the identification within the tumor of a mutation specifically in either a gene or a pathway, and then targeting that specific gene or that pathway in the tumor, which has also led to increased survival rates. And it's really allowed for a change in the way we approach some of the more advanced tumors and metastatic tumors.
Okay. And so with this rise of immunotherapy, you know, there's been tremendous advances. Can you just talk a little bit about the current landscape and the, what is available for these types of cancers?
Yeah, so absolutely, immunotherapy definitely has its role in the armamentarium for treatment of skin cancers, most importantly, advanced skin cancers. However, that being said, early intervention is key. So once we've detected these skin cancers, early intervention can result in very high cure rates and hopefully prevent the development of these skin cancers from local tumors to metastatic or advanced tumors. And the intervention with the highest cure rate for surgical procedures is Mohs micrographic surgery. This is ideal for non-melanoma skin cancer, specifically basal cell and squamous cell, but there is a growing interest and use in certain melanomas as well. And the idea here is, depending upon, as I mentioned, the skin cancer, but also the location, as long as we deem the tumor is appropriate to use this technique, it's similar to the initial biopsy where you numb the area, you take a small piece of skin, and I liken it to a waiting game. Unlike leaving the office and waiting a few days to a week for your biopsy result, everything is done on site in real time. We process the tissue, and the Mohs surgeon functions also as the pathologist, reads the slides, and is able to map out where the tumor is or isn't, so that with each subsequent stage, because it's a staged excision, we only approach it from a targeted perspective. We're not taking large concentric circles, or we're not measuring out large margins. It's a much more targeted approach. And the benefit of this is allows for tissue conservation. So if you're thinking about tip of the nose, the ears, but also, as I mentioned, it's a higher cure rate with a good cosmetic outcome because you are tissue sparing. Another surgical intervention is a standard surgical excision. So I mentioned margins. Depending upon the location of the tumor as well as the tumor characteristics and the diagnosis, you take a standard margin of skin, whether it be 4 millimeters, a centimeter. Those vary depending upon non-melanoma and melanoma skin cancers. And then you excise, so you're going to take a big piece of skin and you put stitches in just like you would with Mohs, but it's not a staged procedure. In general, it's a one procedure. So you take the piece of skin, put the stitches in, patient leaves and returns when the tissue is sent out for pathology and you get the results. Some other non-surgical but still invasive procedures include what we call electrodesiccation and curettage. This tends to be reserved for individuals who have early, so a superficial basal cell carcinoma, or we call an in situ squamous cell carcinoma, where the lesion is very superficial. It's only the uppermost part or the epidermal part of the skin. And here what we're doing is we're using a tool called a curette, which is a sharp tool to scrape the area of involvement, but then also electrodesiccation, and we're burning the surrounding skin. And this is often repeated in series a few times to remove the majority, if not all of, the goal is to remove all of the tumor. The downside to this is that we're not going to have any histologic confirmation, meaning unlike with Mohs surgery, where the Mohs surgeon looks under the microscope, or with an excision where they send it to the pathology lab. The goal here is to avoid having to cut and sew, but the downside or the drawback is that you can't evaluate the tissue under the microscope because, as I mentioned, you're scraping and burning the remaining tumor cells. Another non-surgical option is radiation therapy. This is sometimes used in conjunction with surgical treatments if it's determined that the subtype of skin cancer warrants it. So we talk about something called a perineural invasion. So if we find during the course of Mohs surgery, or if we get the specimen back after an excision, they find that the involvement of the nerves, we would then refer the individual to receive concurrent radiation therapy. Radiation therapy is also good for what we call non-surgical candidates. So there are reasons, as I mentioned, it's not just the tumor, but also the individual that may dictate the best approach to removal of the skin cancer. And so in certain instances, maybe the individual is not a surgical candidate. They can't tolerate the procedure or they decline the procedure. And so radiation therapy is appropriate for these individuals. Similarly, there are certain tumors, distal legs that don't heal well, that may be a better candidate for a non-surgical option.
Okay. So what would you say is the most exciting treatment option out there right now?
I have to go back to our earlier conversation. I really do believe immunotherapy, as well as targeted therapies for advanced and metastatic disease, really have been quite a game changer. I think we will see and will continue to attempt to move towards minimally invasive procedures and treatments and cures for all tumors and all diseases. So I would group skin cancers in there as well. So looking forward to seeing what comes out on the horizon.
So with that, what would you say is on the horizon for patients with skin cancer?
So I think patients have a lot to look forward to. I think medicine and technology and innovation are all moving at a very fast pace. As we've mentioned, immunotherapy and targeted therapies, more of these are going to be made available to individuals with metastatic melanoma, as well as advanced and metastatic squamous cell carcinoma, but also the non-invasive and minimally invasive biopsying techniques. As I mentioned right now, a biopsy is invasive. There is a numbing part of it, as well as taking a blade to the skin. We're talking about confocal microscopy and other imaging techniques that the better they get and the greater the ability to detect and differentiate between different skin cancers and we call benign or more malignant tumors. I think we're going to be seeing more non-invasive biopsy techniques and hopefully, as I mentioned, non-invasive and minimally invasive treatment techniques moving forward.
Great. And so one thing CURE likes to do is we want to make sure that we're able to empower patients. So how do you think patients can become more empowered so that way they are their own best advocate when it comes to making treatment decisions?
I think it starts with education. Education and knowledge really is power. And that can, as I think, a great resource is your board certified dermatologist. Also the resources and references available on reputable websites like the Skin Cancer Foundation's websites and all the literature that they have available within dermatology, the American Academy of Dermatology and other societies, American College of Mohs Surgery, American Society of Dermatologic Surgery. So all of these are great resources. And I do believe it begins with education. And then going back to prevention, I think a lot of what people need to understand is skin cancer is serious. You can die from skin cancer because that is a known misconception. But the good news is these are largely preventable tumors and largely preventable cancers. You have to take action and you have to prevent it. So how do you do that? Appropriate use of UVA, UVB, or ultraviolet A and B, broad spectrum sunscreen, some protective behaviors, when you choose to be outdoors and what activities you choose to perform while you're outdoors. We talk about screening. So not just coming to your dermatologist once or twice a year, depending upon the need, but also monthly self-skin examinations. So once you know what to look for, and again, without really trying to put to memory the ABCDEs or the specific things you might look for, what a basal cell carcinoma looks like compared to a squamous cell carcinoma or what a melanoma looks like. If you are looking at your skin top to bottom, front to back, you'll start with a hair blower and a handheld mirror. And if you have a loved one or a significant other or someone who can help you look at the areas that are more difficult for you to look at, once a month, take an hour or a half hour out of your day and look at your own skin and look for something new, unusual, or changing. And then bring that to the attention of your dermatologist. Because again, early detection results in early intervention, which results in very high cure rates.
Don't forget to subscribe to the CURE Talks Cancer Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode. Or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The CURE Talks Cancer Podcast is the official podcast of CURE Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @cure_magazine.